And as always, it has been a tumultuous week with the Chicago Bears. So many things going on, so many moving parts. We've had trades, we've had trade requests, we've had infighting with Bears Twitter. Listen, there's a lot of things going on, but every time we get towards the end of the week, it is an opportunity to rejoice just a little bit because we can put all that stuff behind us and start to focus on the game at hand. And so this week, and it's going to be a tough one as the Bears are going to be going on the road. I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to be a tough contest, but it feels good to be focused on a game instead of everything that's been going on around the team. Heck, I didn't even mention the fact that we had an assistant coach. There's been so much going on. I'm just ready to get on with it. So Juliana, why don't we just go ahead and start the show?
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
Welcome to the Sick Podcast. I am your host, Adam Rank. Very pleased that you decided to join us here today as we get ready for the Week 9 contest against the New Orleans Saints. And typically on this show, it is an episode of Rank's Rivals. And I'm not going to tell you who didn't show up, but his name rhymes with David Carr. And so, no, this is the thing. Like, we tried. Like, listen, I thought I was going to get a little insight. I was going to talk to the brother of the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. But you know what? Apparently, his kids are playing in the high school football playoffs, and that apparently was more important than being here and shopping it up with me in front of this game. Although, actually, I'm pulling back the curtain a little bit. David is one of the best people that I work with. I would consider him a friend. Now, there's people at the NFL Network who you're like, oh, I know who this person is. Like, I know, oh, yeah, that's one of my coworkers. David Carr goes on that list of like, that's a friend. That's a guy that I text. There was an earthquake in the Central Valley one time, and I texted him, make sure him and his family were okay. Steve Smith Sr. would also be, listen to me, this is just a humble brag for me, but I say this because I'm going to another one of my friends. Again, this isn't just, let's get some random from the Bears media. No, no, no. I decided I wanted one of my friends to come onto the show and talk about this game, and he is an assistant editor at the Bears Wire. He is one of the co-hosts of the Bear Down Chicago pod. Bring him on. It's Brendan Chagrew. And I hope that you've had some time since the last time that we were together to go listen to NXS and find out about Kirk Pengilly. Because I said you were my second favorite saxophone player. And I know you didn't know who Kirk was last time. Did you get an opportunity to go investigate the music of NXS?
You know, Adam, because we're friends, I didn't. So I'm not going to lie to you. But also, hold on. I'm a fill-in for David Carr. Like, that is one of the biggest honors I think I could have in my career. So thank you. That honestly means a lot.
I will tell you the short list when we were doing, and we do this, we always line up, you know, we try to get one of the rivals in. And so David Carr was our first ask. I'm not going to lie to you. I will not, you know, I will not try to snow you or anything like that. But David's son is one of his sons. They have a big family. I don't even know. I don't know if it's his. I don't know if it's Darren's kid. I don't know. It's very difficult sometimes to keep up with the Carr family, but they're doing great out there. And you are, yeah, you're the fill-in. You're the Tyson Bagent to David Carr's Justin Fields. So I'm glad that you take that in great spirits. It's an honor for us to have you here. How's everything been going? You been good?
I've been good. Yeah. It's been a busy season, of course. There have been better weeks than others, just with things happening with just in Bears land, all of the happenings inside, outside Hallis Hall. I'm constantly messaging our managing editor, Alyssa Barbieri, like this happened. So there've been weeks that, you know, we've just been crazy busy, but it's just great to have football continue to be in our lives, even if the Bears make it very difficult. But yeah, things have been good otherwise. Yeah.
I know. I don't want to dive in because we did talk about this on Wednesday night with Take It to the Rank. We did go into a lot of the news surrounding the Bears, but I do want to, I'd rather talk about the things that pertain to what's happening on the field. Montez Sweat was traded for a second round pick. What were your quick opinions on this move? How do you feel about the Bears making that acquisition for a potential pending free agent, but somebody who is also very good?
Yeah, so my initial reaction, I was happy. I was thrilled. I think we all saw that defensive end was a big need for the Bears, and whether or not they were going to be drafting or signing somebody in free agency or getting somebody at the deadline, we knew it was going to be a need. And so my first reaction was, okay, more than likely sooner rather than later, they're going to extend him. They're going to, you know, come together and find a deal. It was a little jarring that that hadn't happened yet. And so, of course, on Bears Twitter, a lot of people going back and forth like, oh, the process is bad. And, you know, Ryan Poles is in over his head because he doesn't know what he's doing. And I even kind of compared it to what Bradley Chubb did last year where he signed 2 days later. But I felt better after hearing what Ryan Poles said, saying that's one of our priorities. We're hoping to get something done quickly. As far as Montez Sweat, the player, he's one of the most consistent defensive ends out there. I think everybody points to the fact that he's a consistent pass rusher, but he plays the run really well. He sticks to his assignments. He doesn't go kind of like outside his gaps to try and make splash plays and maybe pad the stat line a little bit, like maybe his old teammate Chase Young did. So the fact that the Bears are getting a consistent defender, somebody who is a good locker room guy, he's a little bit older at 27, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to have any, you know, he's not going to fall off the cliff in the next year or so. We see plenty of defensive ends continue to be productive well into their 30s. So I feel really good about it. But that lingering contract, until it gets done, there is a little bit of a, what's going to happen here? Are they going to franchise him? Are they going to find that deal sometime this season? So I feel good now. I'll feel great when an extension actually gets done.
I am ready for the victory laps when that extension does get accomplished, because I'm like you. It is one of those things, like, we're taking a little bit of a leap of faith. I don't want to be one of those guys that just comes out and immediately pans it like, I don't hate the Bears. I hate dumb decisions. And of course, I'm referring to somebody who was in the media talking about that today, who, what's his name? Mike Lombardi. I'm like, if you hate dumb football decisions, can we talk about your son never getting the ball to Hunter Renfrow and getting fired? Like, I don't know. Like, would you? I don't know. That seems a little too personal. But at the same time, I hate dumb football. The Raiders were playing dumb football. So it's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving for you with your unemployed son sitting across from you on the Thanksgiving table. I just honestly believe, and this is one of the things that just goes on and on, and we talk about this at great length, is everybody loves draft picks. Like everybody thinks that a draft pick is the next Patrick Mahomes. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way, even for the best of organizations. And so for me, I would rather take a guy that I feel a little bit more comfortable with. And okay, like, we kind of know who he is. We know what he can do on the football field. And I assume we're going to be working on an extension. And in the worst case scenario, you're going to have to franchise tag him. I don't think it's too bad, but I do think that one of the fair criticisms at first was everything with Chase Young, because Chase Young goes for a conditional third. But did you see the report? I think it was from Greg Gabriel, who was talking about how the Bears didn't get opportunity to see Chase Young's medical records. Mm-hmm. And so now I feel a little bit better about that as well. How about you?
I do too. And also, kind of piggybacking off that, a lot of the reports coming out of Washington saying this is addition by subtraction with Chase Young. He may have been making plays on the field, but something wasn't going well there in that locker room. And so you can say that the Bears got the safer, more consistent option. That is true. And I think there is some warrant. You can warrant some criticism for trading a second round pick for a pending free agent when the team itself is 2-6, because knowing that pick is going to be higher, I think those mid to late 30s are still really just prime draft capital. We've seen it in the last few years, but this is the position the Bears have been in. They need to capitalize on getting those players in the building and making sure they don't leave. And it just sort of stinks with the process, not the process, but where the Bears are at, because if they were a winning team, that second round pick is a lot less valuable. You can say that it's part of the present where you're pushed, making a playoff run and hoping to get things done for the future, like what if Miami did last year and the Ravens did with Roquan Smith. Mm-hmm. So it's a little hard to swallow that this is pretty much primarily for the future, and we're hoping that we can get something out of him this year to have a competitive second half season. But at the end of the day, you're right. Draft picks are draft picks. They could be anything. The old Family Guy quote that always gets thrown around. It could even be Montez Sweat. Exactly. So it's still a good move to get somebody like that in the building. And it's probably going to be something that elevates the team. I mean, the Bears do have a strong secondary, A better pass rush helps that. They have good linebackers. A better pass rush helps that too. So it's not only about just one part of the defense. It's about the entire defense.
Yeah. So I'm in favor of it. I think, again, I mean, you hear people knocking the organization, like same old Bears. I'm like, the McCaskies would have normally failed on the Chase Claypool thing and then bunkered in for forever. Like, we're not taking another risk, but the Bears keep going out there and taking risks. And so I applaud them for going out there and taking taking a chance and trying to get an opportunity to get a really good player. Is he going to play this week? Have you heard? Just watching the reports, I was just looking at the injury report right now. I hope he plays. But have you heard if he's going to be playing or not?
Yeah. So the media talked with the position coaches and they did say that the plan is to play him. So I'm going to guess that he gets around 20 to 25 snaps and, you know, maybe plays like 30%, 35% of the defensive snaps on Sunday. So that's good to see. So in some capacity, he's going to get reps.
You know, I've thought so too. When we were talking about it on Wednesday, I was like, well, of course, I mean, Khalil Mack didn't practice for an entire summer. And then he shows up and he just dominates in Green Bay. I'm like, why can't Montez Sweat, who's been playing football, come in? Obviously, you're not going to master the playbook or the defensive signals and everything, but it's like, can you run to the passer? Like, yeah, okay, then just go do that. So I'm looking forward to that. And I know that there's I'll just go on defensively, like looking at the defensive side of the football right now, if you don't mind me going through, just letting everybody know, Jaquan Brisker already ruled out. Tremaine Edmonds ruled out. Terrell Smith ruled out. Like there's a lot of bummers what's going on here. And of course, Justin Fields officially listed as doubtful and Nate Davis is going to be out. It feels like we could use a little bit of a boost here on the defensive side of the football.
No, definitely. It was really discouraging about Jaquan Brisker. And it's scary too, with what Matt Eberflus talked about going through with him about, they thought it was an illness and then they did more concussion testing. It was a concussion and, you know, he hadn't practiced all week, already rolled out. So the good news with Tremaine Edmonds, and I'm not downing him or anything like that. He's a great player. He's come alive as of late, but thankfully, there's a guy named Jack Sanborn that can come in and play some pretty damn good football. So yeah. I feel at least pretty good that the Bears linebacking core isn't going to fall off. Now, they do have a tough assignment with a Saints offense that can throw a lot of different looks at you. Of course, talking about Taysom Hill with the different runs, making sure that they're in position to make sure he doesn't break one off or anything like that. But yeah, it's, you don't like to see all these injuries pile up. And some of the guys that have been out now for a few weeks, Nate Davis, Terrell Smith dealing with mono, you just hope that they're coming back soon. I mean, they weren't put on IR and they've missed probably at least like three games now, maybe four with Terrell Smith. But yeah, it's not great, but of course it's the NFL, next man up. And, you know, at least Eddie Jackson's back and hopefully he plays more than in case of emergency situation like last week, which was really odd.
Yeah, I really hope too, because, you know, they have Alvin Kamara, and you saw last week Austin Eckler was able to really do a nice job against, well, nice if you've got Austin Eckler on your fantasy team, but he did a really nice job of catching and running. I think the biggest issue for this team, tackle a player. Yeah. And I hope that's one thing I'm really curious to see with Montez Sweat. Like, he knows how to tackle. If he comes in and suddenly doesn't tackle, I'm going to be like, this is an illness that we got to just rectify here. But I feel like if the effort is improved and they do a better job of tackling, they're not going to go and shut out the Saints. But I think they could hold them, like not let them, like the Vikings, even without, and Jordan Addison's a good player. They didn't let the Vikings go crazy. I think this defense could be capable of slowing down the Saints.
I think so too. I'm sure we'll get to predictions, but I'm not optimistic about the Bears winning. The Saints offense has been a mess for most of the year. They finally got it together against a really bad Indianapolis Colts defense, and they did have 10 days to prepare for that. So does that carry over against the Bears? I don't know. Some of those mistakes I think that the Bears defense made, like you said, are fixable. Just tackle. You're in the right position. TJ Edwards, make sure you don't let Austin Eckler just shake you off and go down for a touchdown. And I'm just not convinced that the Saints offense is going to be humming again, because there's been a lot of turmoil there. Derek Carr's yelling at guys. Chris Olave is not running routes fully. And then he, you know, has a legal issue too, and he's not playing to his potential. There is a chance, I think, for the Bears to hang around. But you mentioned it. The key, Alvin Kamara, I think Taysom Hill, who had a great game last week. I know some of us probably look at Taysom, we're like, how is this still a thing?
How is this still work?
How does this still work in the year 2023? But it does. And I think that's where the Saints got their juice last week. So those two are going to be the big keys for me. I think it has to be better. It cannot be worse, because the Chargers came in. They knew how to beat the Bears defense with those screens, those quick passes. The defenders were playing 10 yards off. And they just, you know, I said it was death by a thousand cuts, which is, of course, the cover two defense, the big weakness. You would hope that Matt Eberflus and everybody on the staff would make adjustments and know that can't happen again going into this week against the Saints.
I know it's probably a different coaching staff, but having played the Indianapolis Colts, at least knowing the personnel, I hope that gave Matt Eberflus an opportunity to kind of figure out a way to possibly just at least slow down the Saints. But that would mean that the Bears offense needs to come alive. Tyson Bagent is getting his third start. What are your impressions of Tyson Bagent so far?
I think he is a perfect backup quarterback, QB2. He fits the mold. He can keep the rig on the road. We saw it with the Raiders. When things are going well, when the Bears can run the ball, when their defense is getting opposing offenses off the field, all you have to do is just kind of maintain the game plan. When you get behind and then have to throw it and, you know, defenses know that they can just sort of like pin their ears back, go after the quarterback and drop guys into coverage, that's when Tyson Bagent gets into trouble. And that's when a lot of backup quarterbacks get into trouble. I was thinking about this. I think I talked about it on the podcast this week, the Bear Down Chicago podcast. I was thinking back in 2018 with Chase Daniel, when Mitchell Trubisky went out for two games. Chase Daniel went 1-1. And one game, he had like a couple bad interceptions, almost led him back to a win. But if you're a backup quarterback and you kind of finish with that 500 record, that's pretty good, because you keep kind of your team at least in the thick of it, no matter where you are in the standings until the starter comes back. And that's kind of what Tyson Bagent does. Like, he's not going to wow you physically or athletically. He's not going to make those like jaw dropping throws, but he's good enough to hang around, and he's good enough to come in a pinch and lead the team and at least keep them in games. And unfortunately last week, of course, the Darnell Mooney big deep pass, that was
son
great.
Of a gun.
I know. And he should have, like, it was a missed call. We all know it was a missed call. But then the defense just allows that huge drive. The Chargers then go up by 7, and you're automatically playing from behind. That's so hard for a backup. So I like what he does. He's just not a starter at this point. Maybe not ever, but that's okay.
One of the things, too, that was pertinent of that is, even though the call was missed, and we talked about this on the last two shows about how I told Darnell Mooney to his face, said, you were not down. He agreed with me. But you still should not run a jet sweep at Khalil Mack on the next play. You also, like, shouldn't try to lose yards. I know you don't want to play for a field goal, but, like, get the 3 points and get out of there. And if they get the touchdown there, if they get points on that first drive, if they somehow don't let the Chargers score a touchdown at the end of the first half, there's a lot of ways that, like, that gets cleaned up, and all of a sudden you're in a game with the Chargers, who love to blow leads. Things can be a little bit different. So things need to be different here with the Chicago Bears. Need to take care of those opportunities. And I hope, and again, like, I know that for anybody who's out there who wants Tyson Bagent to win, then apparently we become anti-Fields. Like, you're like, hey, I hope the Bears win this week. Like, why, you hate Fields? I'm like, no, I want the Bears to win. Justin Fields is still the number one quarterback for this team. Like, when he comes back, he's the starter. We're not questioning that. And I'm still letting it play out to see, like, who is going to be the quarterback of the future. I want it to be Justin Fields. I think it could be Justin Fields. I still think that Justin Fields is going to be a quality NFL quarterback. I want him to come back and prove that. And I think it's fine. But the Bears this week need to get it done against this tough Saints defense. And asking our backup quarterback to do it is going to be a tall order. So before we get to our picks, we'll do here in a moment, I want to remind everybody, if you're in the Chicagoland area, and you need a place to watch the game, because this is in New Orleans, Game Room Chicago is the best place. It offers billiards, shuffleboard, skee ball, pop a shot, and so much more. And it has plenty of space to watch all of your favorite games, with a menu featuring Michelin-starred chef Mari Katsumura snack foods. There are beer towers, a weekend Bloody Mary bar, and shareable signature cocktails. That makes Game Room Chicago the place to be on game day, not only for Bears games, but go there and watch the Big Ten games as well. It's a lot of fun. Game Room Chicago is the place to check out. All right. So you said you're a little left. you're a little skeptical because I'm pretty sure everybody knows where my game pick is going to go. But how do you see this one going for our Chicago Bears?
You know what? I love that about you. You never change. Always believe. I've been hurt too many times. I have to try and pick with my head a little bit. But look, with this game, if this maybe was at Soldier Field, I'd feel a little bit better. But look, the Bears have not won in New Orleans at the Superdome since 1991. I was 6 months old. I remember it fondly. Tom Waddle had himself a hell of a game.
Goodness gracious.
Since then, it's just been terrible, and it just feels like bad things happen there. They have a great home field advantage. But look, I'm going to pick the Saints. I think I had them at 26-17. And my biggest key is DJ Moore versus Marshawn Lattimore. Yeah. This matchup scares me because since 2021, I'm going to pull up the stat here just so I have it. I want to be as accurate as I can be. Since 2021, Moore obviously playing with the Carolina Panthers. He played the Saints quite a bit. He faced Marshawn Lattimore three different times. In those times, he totaled just five catches for 41 yards and no scores. Saints defense shut him down. Without Marshawn Lattimore, in the one game, DJ had eight catches for 79 yards and a touchdown. So if Marshawn Lattimore and the Saints defense is able to key in on Moore and take away Bajan's top option, and then you're going to have to rely on the run game, I just don't know if that's enough to win. And I think the Bears defense does bring the Saints offense back a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be enough. So I picked the Saints, unfortunately. The Superdome. Isn't it ironic, Adam, that the place that was the setting for the Bears' only Super Bowl championship is so freaking hard for them to win at? It's crazy.
It is. It's such an intertwined history with the New Orleans, because obviously the Bears won Super Bowl 20 at the Superdome. Mike Ditka ended up coaching the New Orleans Saints during the 2000s. You know, it was a pretty good rivalry. I would say for a lot of kids that were growing up in the 2000s, you kind of hated the Saints. Not Tyler Scott, who loved Reggie Bush, but for a lot of people, like, the Saints were the team that was really frustrating, and you really did not like that team, and there was a lot of playoff angst and everything that went on between those two franchises. But the one thing that I truly love about this, and I love about the NFL, is that everything changes from week to week. So many times you go out there, think about the Bears after they beat the Washington Commanders a couple of weeks ago. People were feeling really good, confident. Confidence was riding sky high. And I think for the New Orleans Saints, everything that was going wrong with them righted itself against the Indianapolis Colts. And for once, the Bears are going into a game where they don't need to be the get-right game. The Colts was their get-right game, like it was for the LA Chargers last week. So now this is where they go a little bit and they regress. I think that a lot of the problems that were there for the New Orleans Saints continue to be there. I don't think that they're all washed away. I wasn't going to be able to say this in front of David, but I'm like, I still think that there's a lot of things going on, because Chris Olave dropped a couple of balls against the Colts that could have been touchdowns. So I don't know how that relationship's going. Rashid Shaheed looked great, but he's been a volatile player who can hit and not hit and things like that. And as a matter of fact, I think there's an opportunity for the Bears here. So per usual, I will be picking the Bears to win this game. And if you want to use any of this information for your fantasy football contest, remember, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to play fantasy football. It's simple and easy to get started. Go to underdogfantasy.com, or better yet, download the app. There's a lot of pick'em contest for Underdog Fantasy. And if you've never played one of these before and you've never signed up for Underdog, go to underdogfantasy.com right now or download the app, sign up, play in one of these pick'em contests. It's really easy to get started. Underdog Fantasy will match your initial deposit up to $100. It's a great thing. Use the promo code SICK to take advantage of this deal. I'm going to go with the Saints. You're going to go with the Saints. Excuse me. I'm not going with the Saints. I'm going with the Bears. But I want to thank you for being here. Tell everybody where they can find you, where we can find the Bear Down Chicago pod. And obviously be sure to be checking out Bears Wire, which is a great, we love Allison too. And so where can we find your work?
Yeah. So follow me on Twitter or X, whatever, at Brendan Shagru. That's SUGRUE. Make sure you check out my work and all of our writers at Bears Wire. You can find it at bearswire.com. And then of course, Bear Down Chicago podcast. We go live every Sunday at 7:30 PM Central, sometimes, you know, a day or two late, or depending on what happens with the schedule. But we'll usually be on Sundays at 7:30 p.m. with myself, Ryan Dangle, Jack Wright, Patrick Sheldon, and Logan Bradley. So yeah, it should be fun. Hopefully we're talking about a win. I would love, it's so much more fun talking about wins.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Bears Twitter and Bears everything is so much better instead of going at each other's throats with losses.
Yeah, it is. It has become like a family that's fighting amongst themselves. Like this is a, this should be a reality TV show. It's just Bears Twitter and all the infighting, and like you can't support a player without it being deemed that you're against another guy. And it's a crazy time, but hopefully we can go out there, prove you wrong, and get the win. But I want to thank you so much for being here. I want to thank everybody who joined us here for the show today. Be sure to like and subscribe. Wherever you're watching this, be it on YouTube, write the word sick in the comments right there. Let us know that you enjoyed the show. And of course, you're listening to us on wherever you listen to podcasts, rate and subscribe. And we appreciate that. So for Brendan, I'm Adam. And Juliana, go ahead and play us out and bear down.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.